It is working, all right. Can you hear me? All right. I got to make sure I get real close because I don't talk so loud. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I see the children already know that they're supposed to go. So I don't have to say anything. This morning, as I was preparing this week, God wants each one of you to know this morning that He sees what you're going through. As you can see from the title, I titled the lesson today, "The Living One Who Sees Me." You know, we get into situations where we wonder if He knows what we're going through. We wonder if He's there at all to help us through it. And I want to show you through Scripture this morning that God sees everything that we're doing. He knows what we're doing every minute of the day, every minute of our lives. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're going through. And I've heard all week and in the weeks past that how people go through things and they want to blame God for what they're going through. They want to blame Him for what's going on in their lives. And Satan is the one who's the destroyer. He's the one who's sent to kill us, to destroy us. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. And so he's constantly battling us every day to take our lives, to make us fall. He doesn't want us to go on living eternity. But God does. He sees everything that we're going through. And I want to look at Scripture today to assure you that God sees what's going on in your life. He sees what you're doing. And He knows what's best for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning that You care about us, that You love us enough to watch over us. And no matter what we're going through, You're there to go through it with us, to help us out of the other end of it. Lord, as I'm praying, even I think of Job and how he went through so much more than any of us ever would. And still he came out victorious on the other end of it. And Lord, You blessed him more in the end of his life than You ever did at the beginning. And I thank You for that. Thank You for the promises in Your Word that you're there for us, that You're going to take care of us. And Lord, that even for every temptation that we have, You make a way of escape. I thank You for that, Father. You are worthy of our praise. And so, Father, I thank You this morning. I praise You for who You are, for what You are in our lives. And Lord, I just ask that you'll relay to the church, Father, how much You love them, how much You care for them. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin today in Genesis chapter 16. Probably begin in verse 1 of 16. Might as well start at the beginning, Henry. And this is it's a story that you all know, the story of how Sarai and Abraham, or actually it was Abram now, couldn't have children. She was barren. Sarai was barren and she couldn't have children. And so it begins here. In verse 1, it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go and sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress." So Hagar was Sarai's handmaiden. She was the one who was there to help her, take care of things for her, and since Sarai couldn't have children, she allowed Abram, her husband, to marry also the maidservant Hagar, and so she became pregnant. And then when she became pregnant, it says that Sarai despised her. She couldn't stand it that she got pregnant so quick. But herself could not have children, so she began to treat her bad. So it says that then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong that I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you like, whatever you think best." And Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. And the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert, and it was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. So she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lehi Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So she was there in the desert. Hagar was there in the desert. She was going through a rough spot. She didn't feel wanted at home anymore. I don't know. I can't imagine really being in this kind of a spot. She was an outcast. She just didn't feel wanted at all. She left, went to the desert. She was there in the desert. And I don't know if you know, if you go on in the story of Hagar and how, and Ishmael, she eventually left home again after Ishmael was born and took him out in the desert as well. But I wanted you to see this part right here today because of this well that she named, and she was here by the spring of water, which she called Beer Lehi Roy, which means the well of the Holy One who sees me. She knew that day that God was looking out for her, that God saw her where she was. She knew that He saw her because the angel of the Lord came and talked to her, spoke to her, and showed her how much she was loved and that her son was going to become a great nation. She didn't have to feel despised. She was worth something. And He took her through that. He walked through it with her. And so then she actually, after naming the well there, she went back home and then spent several years at home raising her child before they left again. Let's go to Psalms 139. There's some good stuff there as well. Just, again, some verses that show us how much God knows us, how much He cares for us. Psalms 139. Beginning at verse 1 again. "O Lord," it says, "You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You ever think about that? The Lord knows what we're thinking about. Sometimes our thoughts aren't so good, are they? It says, you discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Another one that hurts, isn't it? Before we say a word, He knows what we're going to say. He knows what's going to be on our tongue. He knows what we're thinking and what's going on in our heart is going to come out through our mouth. And sometimes that's not good, is it? Sometimes it's not so good for what comes out of our mouth. Sometimes my wife tells me I need a filter. So maybe I'm saying something I shouldn't be saying, right? Should filter it before it comes out. But He knows that about us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say. It says here in Psalms 139, He knows it before we say it. And then verse 5, it says, you hem me in behind and before. So He's taking care of us. And you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. It's hard to understand, isn't it? How He's walking before us and behind us to guard our back, to prepare the way before us. He's there for everything that we do. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. And that's the God that loves us, that cares for us. And then the psalmist says in verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are also there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. A lot of people like to do things in the night, in the dark, that they're not supposed to do, don't they? Thinking nobody's going to see them. Well, it's pretty plain here. See, He's going to see us no matter whether it's dark or not. It says that darkness is as light to Him. So even the darkness can't hide us from our Father. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a plan for us, has a purpose for each of us. And He had that all planned out before we were even formed, before we were started or developed in our mother's wombs. He had it written out in a book. It said what we're going to be. You think about God's plan for you and how he loves each one of us that much that He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking about. And He loves us enough that He's taken care of us in everything that we're going through. And some of us had some hard things to go through, some really hard things. Just Most of us, sometime during the week, have a hard spot, a rough spot in the week that it's hard to get through. It's hard to deal with, hard to understand. But know that you can go to the Father, and that you can rely on Him. You can trust Him because He's trustworthy. So you can go to Him. You don't have to be anxious about it. And that's a hard thing. I don't be anxious, because you can trust God. It took me a while to get to that spot. It takes a while in our lives to get to the place where we can trust God, where we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's there, that He's in control, and that He's going to bring us through whatever our trouble is. But just know that He's the living one who sees you. He sees what you're going through. He understands where you are. He understands where you're going and what it's going to take to get there. There are no circumstances in our lives that escape His fatherly awareness and care. God knows us, and He knows our trouble. Matt gave me a thing on the names of God a long time ago, and I've had it here in my Bible. And El Roy is the one where it's the God who sees us, and that's what Hagar saw back in Genesis. She saw El Roy, and that's why she named that well what she did, because she knew that God saw her in the trouble that she was in. In Hebrews chapter 13, actually, I want to read a little thing out of, I'm using Patsy's old Bible study, her daily book, today from last year. But I was looking through and found one that fit with today's lesson, and it's talking about verse 139:14, and verse 14 says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And it says, "We are designed by the Master Creator, whose work is always good." The Lord sees us as beautiful, regardless of how much makeup we have on, whether we're having a bad hair day, whether we've gained or lost weight, whether we're wearing the latest fashion or a threadbare hand-me-down. He says, sees us as His creation. We're created in His image. It says there in Genesis, we're created in His image. When God created man, He made us in His image. So we are valuable to Him. The same way an artist loves his creation, proudly showing it off to those around him, God wants to show us off to the world. Our masterpiece can't be compared with another. We each have our own unique beauty, inside and out, which the world would be incomplete without. When you look in the mirror today, try and view yourself as the work of art created by God's own hand. What beauty can you find staring back at you? So when you look in the mirror this afternoon, look and see what beauty that you can see, because you're made in God's image. We're each one an important masterpiece, an important piece of art, if you want to look at it that way. And one of us is not more important or less important than the other. In God's sight, we're all equal. We're all as important as anybody else. So it says here today, "Thank you, Lord, for crafting me so well. I pray that I live each day in appreciation of your creation." So thank the Lord today for you, for what He's made of you. And some of the things are hard, like I said. Some of the things are real hard. In fact, we're with Patsy, we've been wondering what's going on with her health-wise, and it just keeps going on. We've asked the Lord for healing, but it keeps going on, and it's hard. It's hard. She's made in God's image, just as each of you are. Made in the image of God. Hallelujah. We're His workmanship. He knew us before we started. He knows us today. I do want to finish up today then in Hebrews. If you'll turn there to Hebrews chapter 13. It's actually the last chapter in Hebrews. I was just going to read 20 and 21, but I'm actually going to go back to 18 because it says there, pray for us. And that's one of the things that we do, guys, in Sunday school is pray for each other and lift you guys up as well. And it's important that you remember to pray for one another, that you are willing to lift each other up because prayer, as you know, prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Word of God says. And we've seen God's hand move. So He begins here in verse 18. He says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. And then these last two verses are actually a prayer, which I would like to pray for the church today. It says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So as you go today, remember that the Lord is equipping you and has equipped each one of us for everything that we need to share the gospel with those around us. He's given us all that we need, and He is everything that we need. He loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through. He still loves you, and He sees you where you are. Every minute of the day, every second of your life, He sees what you're going through, and He's going through it with you. He's there to help you. So if you have any needs today, if you have something that you'd like us to pray with you about, we'd love to do that. If there's anybody here who's never accepted the Lord as their Savior and you'd like to do that this morning, I want to give opportunity for that as well. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life is that you're going to walk with Jesus Christ and be His disciple. So you got a song for us at the end, Matt? Elders, come up and we'll finish up.